James, tell us a little bit about yourself as a journalist and an author.
Well, I live across the valley from you in Santa Fe, although I'm calling today from Washington, D.C. I tend to write biographies and narrative nonfiction, so my last book came out last spring. It's called The Ambulance Drivers, and it's a book about Ernest Hemingway and John Dos Passos and their service in World War I and the books they wrote. And currently I'm writing a biography of Tony Hillerman, whom everybody in New Mexico knows. I worked as a journalist beginning in the 1970s in New Mexico and in the East, and then I worked in the magazine and book business, and then I had this lark of a 10-year period where I worked as a high school teacher.
Okay.
I was solving my midlife crisis, and for the last dozen years or so, I've been laboring in Santa Fe as a local author writing books.
Okay. Well, and you're talking on Monday about media literacy.
I'm talking about media literacy and fake news and journalistic ethics. It's not meant to... I guess the purpose is that I think a lot of the way to fight fake news is to increase media literacy and make people understand how one reads or listens or views news. And that is perhaps the most powerful weapon against the kind of fake news that we're seeing a lot of. And also explain to people that, you know, fake news is not something new. I mean, it's existed since modern mass media was created in the late 19th century. Most kids who had some inkling of American history in high school studied the Spanish-American War and learned how the New York Journal and the New York World created fake news stories about the war. And political campaigns have long used fake news. I mean, as you know, in the 60s and 70s, I mean, Richard Nixon, part of the story of Watergate, was elements of fake news they used to discredit their opponents. But there's some things that are new about fake news, and that's why I think they're more in the news, so to speak. One of which is that they're particularly adept in using social media platforms. So in the old days, if you and I were sitting in a bar or a cafe and I leaned over and told you some little bit of news that turned out to be fake, you might check it out or you might talk to somebody else in the bar. Now when somebody shares fake news on let's say Facebook, in minutes, 20, 30,000, 100,000 people get that item. So before it can be discredited, it's already had enormous circulation. And it isn't just people who are uninformed. I have friends who I won't identify, but who have PhDs, who have put up on Facebook things like there was recently images of the evangelist Pat Robertson with a picture of Michelle Obama, and then he with a picture of Melania Trump. And attached to the former picture was criticism of the way Mrs. Obama dressed, and the other one was one of the famous nude photographs of the First Lady, and he was quoted as saying, "the pure art that shows the beauty of God's work." Well, that's completely fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks who are very bright had no sense of it and posted it. So once others of us tagged it and said this is a fake story, they apologized, but in a sense the damage is done.
Right, and because your post back is not necessarily going to be seen by all the people that
saw the original. And then the second thing that's fundamentally different, and this is the one that might have the greatest implication for American politics, is what people are now calling the weaponization of fake news by those in power. So legitimate news is now being brushed with the same tar brush as being fake news. And what's astonishing about that is when people in power use that, they're followers discredit legitimate news once it's been labeled that way, but it's also had a worldwide implication. I found three examples this morning. You know, the whole issue with the Rohingya people in Myanmar who are, you know, being, it's like genocide and they're being forced out of there. The Myanmars call the reports as fake news, saying there's no such thing as this group of people. The Syrian president says the Amnesty International report about 13,000 prisoners is fake news. Venezuela is saying that the stuff that's being reported is fake news. So they're taking their lesson from American politics and discrediting legitimate news by using this invocation of fake news. So there's a lot going on, and those are some of the things I'll be talking about on Monday, as well as what are the solutions to it.
Exactly. You know, it's so I don't like that report about me, so I'll call it fake news. You know, let me create my image, and if you don't the world what I want to be, then I'm going to just call you a liar.
Yeah, yeah, it's a more polite way of calling you a liar.
So with the Facebook, the social media stuff, and people putting out fake news on purpose, sometimes coming from overseas, in fact, how do we fight that?
It's really hard. I mean, because we value the First Amendment, Facebook and others are really stuck in a hard place. You can't just sort of ban speech of any sort. Now, they are taking down videos, like they took down the one about the crisis actors, and they are trying to, in a sense, police it. But ultimately, the only kind of policing that can be done is by the recipients rather than the distributors. If we're savvy enough, we won't keep posting these things. We'll dismiss them. We can police them in a way more rapidly and less harmfully than we can by imposing limits on speech. I mean, I think that's the basic dilemma anyone who deals with the media faces. The solution that some people offer might be worse than the problem we face. And that, I mean, we don't want to lose our ability to have an anti-nuclear group in Los Alamos have an equal voice to pro-nuclear groups. And giving that power to the people who are the gatekeepers could be disastrous. So I think we need to be wary about Zuckerman and others coming up with broad solutions that simply eliminate fake news from being disseminated.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. We are talking with author James McGrath Morris. He'll be speaking at the next Voices of Los Alamos meeting. That's on Monday at 6:30 at the Unitarian Church. We've got Christina Olds here in the studio also. Christina, give us a little bit more about what you're hoping to get out of this talk on Monday.
Well, kind of the focus of the group is to educate ourselves. It's also to bring together community to discuss issues in the news and in politics right now. And I think everybody's come across, especially right now with all the Russian stuff, we've had people apparently try to join our Facebook page who are not real people. So it's,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's everywhere. I find this issue to be so relevant to everything we're doing as we're spreading and sharing information and trying to educate ourselves and others. You know, media is a huge part of that, and how can we do a little better job? So hopefully that'll be something that everybody can come out for. Like James said, we'd love to see high school students, local media, of course, anybody who reads the news, so that's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So please come out.
Okay, James.
Yeah, I think we should make clear this is not a meeting with an agenda. This is a meeting in which people can raise concerns about fake news. We can talk about media literacy. We can. It's not meant to be a campaign against those who are using it as a moniker to defeat their opponents. This is really a chance to have an educational gathering in which all sides can be represented. This is not a fake news event. This is an event about fake news.
There you go. What else would you like to add this morning, James?
Nothing much. It's just that I think we need to keep our guard up, that no matter how well-educated one is, it's easy to be fooled, and the problem with us is that we all have lots of followers. And before you hit post, you know, when I was a child, I was a nonstop talker. And my teacher told me that there was an Arabic saying that one should turn your tongue around your mouth seven times before speaking.
That's
I think there's a similar thing we should do. When we see something on the Internet, we need to think a little bit, do a little checking before we suddenly share it with everybody else. And that alone would make such a change.
Mm-hmm. And Christina?
Same thing. I just saw a story yesterday that I did the same thing. My mom does it all the time, forwards things. And, I mean, I've become the person who finds all the answers and sends six links back of why this isn't true. So, yeah, it's valuable and we could all use it.
Okay, once again, Unitarian Church, 6:30 p.m. on Monday for this discussion with James McGrath Morris. This is KRSN AM 1490.
Thanks for having us on.